Welcome, my friend. You are listening to Read Clean YA with CJ, the podcast for teens and young adults who want to explore exciting worlds, deep themes, and epic stories without the objectionable content. I'm your host, award-winning young adult author CJ Malacy, and in this episode, we are going to dive into an author interview with young adult author Chuck Black. Chuck Black, a former F-16 fighter pilot and tactical combat communications engineer, is the author of 22 novels, including the popular Kingdom series, the Knights of Arathtray series, the Wars of the Realm series, the Star Lore Legacy series, and Call to Arms, the Guts and Glory of Courageous Fatherhood. Chuck and his wife, Andrea, have six adult married children and many grandchildren. In addition to writing, Chuck is currently the CEO of Flow Core Systems, an oil and gas chemical injection automation company. He is the inventor or co-inventor on 16 patents in the US and Canada. It is Chuck's passion to inspire people of all ages to follow the Lord with zeal and to equip parents, pastors, and youth leaders to accomplish the same. Chuck Black, welcome to the show.
Thank you, CJ. It's a joy to be here.
I am so thrilled to have you. I had the privilege of meeting Chuck and his wife at a homeschool convention in 2024. And we just talked for a few minutes, but I enjoyed that few minute conversation. And I've been so looking forward to getting to talk to you a little bit more about your stories and share with our listeners. I've had many listeners ask to hear an interview with Chuck Black. So I'm thrilled that they are finally getting their wish. And I'm excited to hear about your story today. So we're going to be talking about Chuck's Nova episode one of the Star Lore Legacy series. So Chuck, would you mind sharing with our listeners a little bit about your stories?
Yeah, of course. And again, thank you for the invitation. I'm looking forward to the conversation here. The Star Lore Legacy series is my fourth series. It's something that has been marinating in my mind for years. I grew up reading science fiction and medieval history. So I kind of wanted to, be outside my own time frame or something. But I really enjoyed those two genres. And so when I wrote my first few books, I tended toward the medieval time period. And I typically write in allegorical form, which just, it kind of chose me. People ask, why do you choose allegories? Well, I don't think I really did. It kind of chose me. So, and then I diverted into a modern-day spiritual warfare, The Wars of the Realm. The first two series were the Kingdom series and the Knight series. And then this last series, the Star Lore Legacy, is something I've been wanting to do for a long time. You know, science fiction is can be kind of a tough nut to crack, especially as a Christian author. And so I didn't really know how to do that. And then a few years back, before I started Nova, I just came upon this idea of allegorizing it, and it just kind of opened the doors for have some literary freedom as an author. And so Nova is the first book in the Star Lore Legacy, and it allegorically chronicles the life of Moses from his beginning time in Egypt and then all the way up through the end of his life into, you know, entering into the promised land and that sort of thing. My allegory is I typically use, you know, one person to represent multiple people groups. So you'll see the character of Moses and Dayson Star-Lord transform into the different prophets of the Old Testament as we work our way through the scriptures. So that's kind of the gist of it. I'm an electrical engineer by degree, former fighter pilot. So I got to kind of merge those two passions of mine into the science fiction. And I try to keep it as authentic as possible. I use science that I think is within reach. And then my fighter pilot days. I know you're into the book a little bit.
Yes.
You probably noticed there's a lot of space starfighter stuff going on that generates from my military background. And I love allegory. I love how we can use it to teach really cool lessons. And then it also just kind of takes the doors off of any kind of restrictions as an author when I'm trying to weave in my biblical and Christian themes.
Yes. As you said, I've started the first book, Nova, and I'm really enjoying it. And there is that level of authenticity that comes because you know what you're talking about very, very clearly. And it makes it so fun. Even though it's spaceships and all this stuff, I feel like I'm experiencing it with the characters. The first chapter, that scene, which I won't give too much away, it's just such an incredible, exciting scene that is not something you could experience necessarily on planet Earth. And yet you feel like you could while you're reading it. There's something so real and authentic. And I picked up on that Moses allegory as I was reading, and I was like, this is Moses. Oh, this is so cool. So it's great. I'm really into the story. I'm only about a quarter of the way through at the time of this recording, but I'm very engaged in it. And It's a lot of fun. And I agree, allegory is such a powerful means of going through biblical truths and expressing them. I love how stories can take us to other places and touch our hearts along the way and transform us really at the end of the day as we begin to see these truths come to life through characters that we're engaged with and on a journey with as we walk through a story. This is quite the undertaking though, because you said this is book one, and how many books are you planning for the series?
Well, I've written six and there are six more to go. I'm currently writing book seven, about halfway done. It was originally just going to be a three-book series, but as I started to flesh out the characters and the storyline, it just became such a larger story than I had ever envisioned. Then I went to six books and I started to kind of segment those out and I realized, man, that's not going to do it either. So it's grown to 12. It's definitely going to stop at 12. And that's going to take me a few years to still finish that up. I think what I really like about allegory is the story can be fun, engaging, full of action and adventure, and still connect without being preachy. You can still connect to some really neat, deep spiritual truths. You know, you don't have to try too hard to teach a point. It kind of happens naturally in allegory, which I love.
Yes. And there's something about watching a character walk through it. It's something I've said on this show multiple times, just seeing a character experiencing it. It's that show versus tell that we talk about when we're writing, but it's true in life. If someone tells me something to do, you don't really want to do that. But if you see someone else live in a certain way that inspires you, that gets you thinking, that makes you realize that living a courageous life can be possible and doing these things for God really can make a difference in other people's lives, you start to want that yourself. And I think characters and stories can give us that opportunity to watch what it looks like to see these truths lived out in a real way.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've always been stunned by how real some of these fictional characters become to us. You know, they take on personality and you think you could even just have a conversation with them. And it's kind of surreal. I'm typically a plot-driven author. You know, that's how I start. But something always happens about halfway through every book. The characters just take over and then it becomes character driven. Sometimes they take the story where I never intended it to go. It's powerful. That's the thing about fiction, you know, it has the ability to move emotions and passions. And I think that's something that authors need to really take to heart when they put their pen to paper or their fingers to keyboard.
Yes.
And know that they have that power over their reader, wield it carefully.
Yes, definitely. Well, you told us a little bit about how the story came about, which was my next question for you. I love these conversations because half the time we get to the questions before I even ask them. But now that you are halfway into the story, do you have a character that has kind of risen up that you really enjoy writing about, whether it's Dason or someone else?
That's a good question. For the Star-Lore series, I would say perhaps my favorite character so far is actually Raviel, the other hero in the book alongside Dason. Kind of a spoiler for you and your readers if they haven't read it, but I do about four books with one generation of characters, and then there'll be another four books with the next generation, and then another four books. So there's going to be three generations here. So I'm deep into the second generation. And so I don't know, there's just something about Raviel that I really like. She starts out as a lowly mechanic on a starfighter, and God just chooses her to do just amazing and miraculous things. Even though Dason's kind of the primary protagonist in the series, she is such a powerful force in this story that I just really like her.
I just met Raviel in my personal reading of the story, and I immediately loved her character. She's got a spunk to her, even though she quote unquote shouldn't in the culture she's in, because she's of a lower caste and she shouldn't be as spunky as she is. And that's part of why you kind of love her, that she is. She has this fire in her. And also, she's a mechanic, which is cool as well. A girl who knows her way around tools is always an exciting thing.
Yep, exactly. You know, and what I tried to capture with her is just that courage, you know, that you mentioned earlier, the courage to do something beyond normal. And that courage actually is driven by a higher force, a higher power, which you'll discover soon.
Yes. Well, I'm already very intrigued by her character, and I'm glad to hear she's a big part of the story moving forward, because I latched onto her quite quickly. I was like, oh, I like this one. So one of the things we talk about on this podcast is the themes in the stories. And I know you are passionate about writing stories that touch hearts. And just from talking to you briefly at the conference we were both at, I could sense that you had a passion for what you were doing and the themes you wove into each of your books. And with this story in particular, is there a theme that you're passionate about? And, you know, if we could talk a little bit about that, I'd love to.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the question, CJ. The origin of my passion I think is still the motivation for all of my writing came from my own children. They were young when I first started to write my first book, 13 down to 3, and I was having devotions with my kids, and I looked up in the middle of the devotions. They just seemed so bored, you know, and they were yawning and looking at the ceiling for patterns in the texture, and, you know, just couldn't wait to be done with it, you know. And I just got so discouraged, and I went to bed. My heart just was aching, and my prayer to God was, Lord, how do I inspire my kids to look at their faith with a fresh perspective? How do I get them to understand what you truly did on the cross for us, and how monumental and epic, and how that spanned time from beginning of history to the end, and, you know, and to help them understand that they're part of this story, you know, and they can be major characters in this epic tale. And so, you know, that's when God just really inspired me to write that first book. That motivation is still what drives me today. And I think that's the central part of the theme in the Starlord Legacy series. Mm-hmm. And that is to awaken the minds of young people to the reality of spiritual warfare, for one thing, but also spiritual truths. Mm-hmm. And I always feel like if we could put on a set of glasses and take a peek into that spiritual realm for just 1 minute, it would change everything we did from that moment on. And so that's really is what drives, I think, the impetus of my writing, is to help them see past our own temporal and limited reality and into that world. Mm-hmm. And so I spend a lot of time, where you're at so far in the story, CJ, is just the beginning. A mm-hmm. big part of the story that unfolds is that secondary realm, symbolically where God and the angels and the demons live, and how mm-hmm. much of a huge impact it is on our day-to-day lives. And so that's really the central theme in the Starlord series, just helping young people open their minds and awaken to the reality of what's going on in the unseen world. And that's the world that's going to last forever. This one's going to come and go, but the other one lasts forever.
It's so easy to get caught up in only the things we can see and miss the reality that is so much bigger than what we can see right now. And to be able to capture hearts at as young of an age as possible, really, to realize that there is an eternal reality and an eternal realm. And that is what this journey of life is bringing us toward. How incredible, really, to make an impact.
Absolutely. If I'm writing to just entertain, I'm wasting my time. You know, I'm really writing to try to point them to Christ. And so if one paragraph in one book someplace does that, then it's all worth it for one young person. And, you know, we are so tied to this world by our five senses. It's really hard to look outside that. But the more we are able to do it as human beings, I believe the more impact it's going to have on our success. I mean, success the way God, you know, defines success. It will affect how we interact with people. It'll affect how we engage with missions. It'll affect how we engage with our church. It'll affect our marriages, our children. It just has such a massive impact. And so that's what drives me. That's what keeps me up at night.
Yes, I absolutely resonate with that passion. And it is life-changing when we catch hold of that eternal reality, and when it kind of gets stamped on our eyes and becomes the thing we see that overlays everything we do. It makes every interaction, every small activity to large activity, become worthwhile in a way, in a magnitude that it couldn't be otherwise. You know, where bringing a meal to a neighbor could become something that brings about eternal ramifications and repercussions, and the fact that God allows us to be woven, like you said earlier, woven into this epic story he's unfolding, and lets us be part of it and take hold of each day something he's doing in this world. That's something that astounds me personally. And the days where I really keep that at the forefront of my mind are the most truly incredible and miraculous days. Even if nothing quote unquote miraculous looks like it's happening, they're the days that you see God work in ways and touch hearts and lives. And when he uses us to do that, it's beautiful and humbling.
Yes, so true. You hit on such a key point. I'm always just stunned by how God chooses the least of us to do the greatest things. And I include myself in there. I'm just such an average, normal guy. And yet he's allowed me to have a chance to speak into the hearts and minds of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people out there. And I'm just always stunned by that. I'm just like, Lord, why me? Why? You know, I don't understand it, but I just try to do my utmost to give him the honor and the glory for anything that does happen. And it's just so cool to see God work in the lives of people. And like you say, sometimes in the smallest little actions that are taken can have such long-term, you know, eternal impact. I get excited about God. He's just so cool that way.
Yes. It makes me excited to hear about your stories like Nova that are written with this heart and this intention to take eternal reality and bring it into a story and give readers a glimpse of it. And may God use that to touch their hearts. That's truly something that is inspiring and exciting to hear about, because I believe God uses stories. I mean, I wouldn't be writing them if I didn't believe that there was a purpose that could be eternal in them, right? But there is something incredibly exciting to hear of like a heart and passion to touch young lives and any reader really who picks up these books with the magnitude of a reality beyond this world. So thank you for what you're doing. It really is. It's incredible.
Well, that's very kind. Again, the glory goes to the Lord. And sometimes I refer to myself as the accidental author, because I never planned on writing a book. And here I am at number 22, I think it is, writing number 23, actually.
Wow.
And my journey's been a little bit odd too. You know, for the first 4 or 5 years of this process, I prayed all the time, you know, Lord, if this isn't what you want me doing, and if these stories aren't edifying you and the kingdom, then just shut it down. I'll walk away from it today. You know, that was my prayer over and over. And finally, after about 5 years of that, it just kept growing and getting bigger and bigger. I realized I was about 2 or 3 in the morning and I was exhausted. And I was self-publishing in the first few books at the time. And I just realized, you know, I have never prayed for God to bless this.
Wow.
So, I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I'm exhausted. I can't do this by myself anymore. If this is really you, then I just ask that you just take it from me, give it to somebody that can do something with it, and just bless it. And within just a few weeks, Waterbrook Multnomah was in contact, and we were talking, you know, 4-book contract and 6-book contract, and things just kind of exploded. But even today, and honestly, even with the Star Lore series, oddly enough, when I pitched this book, it wasn't received well. I lost my publisher and I lost my agent and everything over it. And I thought, well, this is it. You know, this is the Lord telling you to walk away. And I spent weeks in prayer about that. And I just felt like the Lord was telling me, Chuck, I'm not going to promise you anything. I just want you to write the book. Just finish the book and get it out there. So that's what I did. And now it's been as successful, probably more successful than any of my other writings. And so I'm just incredibly grateful and humbled by God that he would give us the whispers we need to move forward and give us that encouragement when we need it. So
I love accidental author. That's how I feel about myself too. You told me 15 years ago, I would have never believed I'd write a book, you know? So it is just wild to see what God will do and what he'll do when we surrender, right? When we're like, all right, well, here's where you're leading. And I think he's got a bit of a sense of humor, you know, like he's like,
I do too.
you don't think you're going to write a book, Chuck? Well, here you go. 22 later, you know, it's wild.
Oh, that's so funny. So I'll tell you a short little anecdote about that. As a young guy growing up, I was extremely shy, very much an introvert, like 96% introvert. And I avoided public speaking like the plague. I was able to get out of speech class in high school. And even in college, somehow I avoided it and they still let me graduate because I just did not want to do it. And I started dating my wife late in high school, and she's gregarious, outgoing. You know, she's, in fact, her majors are speech and theater. And so she asked me one time when we were newly married, she says, what's your greatest fear in life? And I said, well, that's easy. That'd be me having to get up in front of people and talk. I said, well, what's your greatest fear? And she says, well, that's easy. That'd be me having to fly a plane or something like that. And so I ended up marrying a speech teacher and a speech major, and she ended up marrying a pilot. And the irony of it, and I think this is where God's sense of humor comes in, is I am now going all over the country speaking to thousands of people every year.
Amazing.
And every time I get up, I have to ask God, Lord, don't let me collapse up here, because I'm dealing with my greatest fear every day. And so finally, though, I told Andrea, I said, you know, honey, God has me dealing with my greatest fear all the time. I think it's time for you to start taking some flying lessons.
What did she say to that?
She said, no, I don't think so. That's not my calling. So anyway, somehow she got to avoid that, but I'm here dealing with it.
That is too funny.
Is when I talk at these conferences, I've gotten a little more used to it, but I still have that anxiety all the way up to the moment before, and I have to just turn it over to God. And the strangest thing happens when I get up there, and the first 10 minutes are tough, but then I just feel the Holy Spirit just take over, and I really start just sharing my passion for God, and then it's all okay, and I can get through it.
Yes. So. Yeah. I love the verse in Corinthians that says, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." And I resonate with that, and I'm so thankful that Paul had that conversation with Jesus, because I need that over and over. It just comes back to it for me where, amen, like, I'm so weak, I don't have it. In that verse, the Lord's just like, "Oh, but my strength is made perfect there." Good. I'm glad you're feeling weak right now, because I can show up and we're all going to know it's not you, you know?
Exactly. No, that is 100% true. Everybody knows it can't be us, right? It's got to be the Lord. So grateful for that. Grateful that he comes in and steps in and makes it all work. So.
Amen. Amen. So we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but I would love to hear, just if you were to say to a reader, you had a reader in front of you, they're reading Nova, what would you want them to take away from that book? What's something that you would love their heart to resonate with when they shut that last page of the story?
Yeah, I think other than the overall theme of, you know, understanding the reality of spiritual warfare, Dason and actually both Raviel are characters that would be, you know, unlikely heroes. And so I think what I would like my reader to take away is that God is waiting for you to say yes to his call. And you don't have to have the skill. You don't have to have the experience. You don't have to have the wisdom and the knowledge. I mean, obviously, I think we need to do our part in preparing ourselves, but we're never going to be fully equipped to do the calling that he puts on our lives, because sometimes it is scary. You know, you deal with your fears. And I think I'd like to have the young people step away from my book thinking, you know what, I can't do it on my own, but through Christ I can. And Lord, I'm willing. Just call and I'll step forward. Here I am, Lord. I think that would be the motivation I would hope they would pull away from it.
Yes. Oh, I love that so much. It's wonderful. And how amazing to see a generation of young people stepping up and doing that in this insane world we live in. We have a God who is so much bigger than that insanity and can use any life that will surrender to him. Just to see young people actually take hold of that and experience the fullness of what God has for them. I can't think of anything more beautiful to see, truly.
Yeah, amen to that. I like the verse that says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." So I spent a lot of time thinking about, well, what does it mean to be chosen and who gets chosen? Mm-hmm. And I personally believe that the people that are chosen are the people that say, "Here I am, Lord, you know, call me." Really, being chosen is a matter of just saying yes. And I think that there's so many people that God calls, they either are numb to his voice, or afraid, or unwilling to step out of their comfort zone and jump into his kingdom work. And so I think being chosen is actually probably the simplest, hardest thing to do, because truth is, God doesn't ask us to do easy things. He asks us to do hard things. So there's that courage coming back in, right? And so if you want to be not only called, but chosen, then have the courage to say, "Lord, I can't do it by my own, but I'm going to step in and I'm going to step up." That's another takeaway, I think, for these young people is let yourself be chosen.
Yes. Oh, I'm personally just feeling so encouraged, and it's something we know in our hearts, but just to talk about the reality of stepping up, do the thing God's calling you to do, take that courageous leap. It is something we need to be reminded to do over and over again, I think, in our lives. At least for me, I need the reminder. I wish it would stick, but it's a reminder I need on the regular. I will say that.
That is so true. CJ, I often say, you know, we leak.
And, yes. You know,
we get filled up with the Spirit and we want to charge the hills. Then all of a sudden the next day it's like, "Oh, I can't do that." It's like we leak Holy Spirit. The other thing I'm so grateful to the Lord for is he knows we're weak. You know, he knows we need to be re-encouraged often. And so it's okay. It's okay to need that and ask God for that encouragement, because we are weak vessels, but he'll never leave us.
Yes. Well, we are moving toward the end of our time here. And before we wrap up, I would just love if you wouldn't mind us pulling back the curtain a little and sharing more about Chuck Black, the man behind the books here. You kind of gave us your writing journey start. So we got a little of that behind the scenes. But when you're not crafting all of your adventurous stories, what else are you doing?
Sure. So like I said earlier, I am an electrical engineer by degree, but I've got quite a long history in business. I was in business with my dad and my three older brothers for 25 years, and they're quite a bit older than me. I'm the youngest of seven, and they were the top end. So they were getting ready to retire, and they wanted to sell the business, and they did, and kind of left me out there figuring out what I'm supposed to do next, because I still had a whole bunch of young kids at home that I had to feed. And so it just so happened, right as that business sold, there was an idea that came up for a chemical injection automation system in the oil and gas industry. And I explored that idea and ended up getting a patent on it. And we started to build a company around that. And we now have four patents and 20 employees. And we have international markets down in Argentina and Saudi Arabia. And God has just blessed this company beyond anything I could have ever expected. And so when I thought I was about at the point of getting out of that world and going into writing full time, God just opened up this door in a major sort of way. And it was about then that my adult children were starting to graduate from college. And so I needed some really inexpensive but top quality labor. And so I started hiring them into the business.
Perfect timing.
and then my daughters had a couple of boyfriends each. They were cousins, actually. And I hired both of them in. And so they thought, well, I better come home too. So, you know, we're up in Williston, North Dakota. And I told my wife, I said, honey, when our kids leave, we're going to be spending the rest of our lives just traveling around the country, because there's no reason they'll ever come back to Williston, North Dakota. And now all of a sudden, five of the six are working in the company and their spouses. So that's what's consuming me now. And like I said, God has just really blessed the company. We're expanding, we're growing, we're creating. It's a research and development company as well. We do really just some really cool things. We're expanding fabrication, getting CNCs and laser engravers and plasma cutters and developing new products all the time. And so it's a fun place to work. I look forward to going to work on Monday. My passion between writing and that is about 50-50. I can't figure out which Amazing. One I want to do more. So I just wish I had a little more time each day. So that's kind of it. And then Andrea and I are now the grandparents of 13 grandchildren. And so our recent one just came to join us here 2 days ago. And so it's fresh. And we are absolutely loving being grandparents. Andrea calls herself a professional grandmother, and she is, and she's very good, and they love her.
So, I believe it. Yeah.
So that's kind of what fills our lives now is Flowcore systems and writing and grandchildren and family. And I kind of pinch myself every day, because it just so happens that, and this wasn't by design, but the kids found homes and they just happened to be really quite close. They're like, all of them are within about a quarter of a mile of our house.
Oh, that's amazing.
Two of them on the same street. And it's so we just walked down the street and I wake up in the morning. I said, Lord, I don't know how you did this. I wasn't even smart enough to ask for it. and God just blessed us. And so I feel like I'm kind of living my dream, you know, and I don't want to give your listeners out there a false understanding of, you know, that we're a perfect family or perfect marriage or anything. We have gone through the struggles just like everybody else. And we had hard days and difficult days. But I guess the last thing I'd like to leave with your listeners, don't give up. Don't give up on the things that God tells you not to give up on. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your faith. You know, if you're in a marriage, don't give up on that marriage. Work hard at it and bring it to the Lord in all humility. And just keep doing the things God tells you that He wants to bless and honor you with. And so, and that's what Andrew and I have tried to do. And like I said, through thick and thin, some really tough days, you know, but here we are kind of on the other side of that. And we're just very, very grateful and humbled that God would give us the ability to be this close to our family and have work that we enjoy so much.
Yes. Thank you for that encouragement too at the end. And there's a psalm, and I'm so bad at references, but it says, I have been young and now I'm old, but I have not seen the goodness of the Lord depart from the land of the living. Or that's the CJ paraphrase, so we'll have to look that up and get the actual right reference. But what you were just speaking just reminded me of that. And it's through all the stages of life and the ups and downs, and there's God's goodness over it all. And even now, just in the things He's blessing your family with, which it's beautiful to hear. And fascinating too. The work you're doing sounds so interesting. And I'm sure you've had some interesting inspirations with your sci-fi writing in there too. I feel like they could kind of cross over a little bit once in a while.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. We're definitely a scientifically minded family. number of engineers and that sort of thing. That's the other passion of mine too, is apologetics. I love science. I love science growing up, and it was just painful to watch science turn away from God, you know, over the last couple of decades in such a major way. But now I think they're starting to come back. I think true science is actually proving out and disproving the theoretical science that the evolutionists wanted to propound so greatly. And so that's a great passion of mine, and that kind of marries into the technical part of my writing. And so, yeah, you're right. You're spot on.
I love how God will take all these different things that seem disconnected to a human brain, and how could they ever be woven together and be something that connects in any cohesive fashion? And then he's like, watch me, you know, just give it to me and then watch me work. And it's a beautiful thing to see the tapestry he will weave when we just commit to him, our works and our gifts and talents and passions, and how he brings it together in a way that is, like you said earlier, I'm not even smart enough to ask him to do this. So, you know, it's just amazing to see what God will do.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just so brilliant. I marvel at his creativity and his genius and his intellect, and how it's just incredible. I just stand in awe every single day wondering how a mind could be so beautiful. And so we get to see glimpses of it from time to time, right?
Yes, yes. Amen. Well, before we wrap up for today, unfortunately, our time went so fast. We're already at the end of our time here. But before we wrap up, would you mind sharing with our readers where they can find and connect with you and get your books?
Absolutely. And thanks for that. So the best place is my website, and it's www.chuckblack.com. Pretty simple. But I also have Facebook and X and Instagram. If you go to my website, you can have links to all of those social media platforms and follow me there. We send out a bit of a newsletter about once a quarter or so. You can sign up on my website there, and then you can also know when the next release is. We do our own audiobook production as well, fully dramatized audio productions with professional voice actors, music, sound effects. And so it's not just somebody reading. All those productions are really well received by a lot of the readers and listeners out there. So we have multiple events throughout the year. We did also tip our toe into the water with a podcast. I created six podcast sessions. We're going to start resuming that here this spring as well. And so you can see links to that as well. That's where you can find me.
Fantastic. So we'll have links to your website and all these fantastic resources in the show notes so that listeners can easily grab them. But
thank you.
Chuck, thank you so much for being here today. I've loved this conversation and so thankful we were able to have you on the show.
Thank you, CJ. I appreciate it. I was blessed by the conversation, and I pray for God's blessing on you and your writing and your podcast.
I hope you enjoyed this interview with Chuck Black. I absolutely loved getting to have this conversation, and hearing Chuck's passion and heart for the Lord was such an encouragement to me personally, and I hope it's an encouragement to you as well. I have been loving Chuck's books, and I know several of you listeners have read his stories already and you love them as well. But if you haven't checked out any of his books, I encourage you to pick them up. They are fantastic reads and great books to read as a family as well, if you're looking for a story to enjoy together. And like he said, he has excellent audiobooks available. So if you have a road trip coming up sometime soon, they might be just the right thing for you and your family. Thank you so much for listening to Read Clean YA with CJ. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend so they can discover exciting, clean, young adult books too.